Thank you for firing up the Sunrise Church podcast. My name is Steve Garcia, and I am the lead pastor at Sunrise. We are a community of Jesus followers from all walks of life, all colors of skin, and all ages. And I hope this message you hear today inspires you to deepen your connection with Christ. Let's dive in. Well, good morning, family. It is great to once again be with you. My name is Steve Garcia, and if this is your first time with us, I sure would love the chance to meet you. Just after the service, I'm going to be out here in our courtyard, another beautiful Southern California Sunday, and I'd love a chance to either shake your hand or give you a fist bump, depending on your COVID-related preference of greeting, and so we're just glad that you're here today. Here's what I'd like you to do. Picture this. You're sitting in a restaurant on a Friday night, and you scan the room at all of the couples that are there. Across the way, you see two senior adults, and they're holding hands across the table, smiling at each other as they sip their coffee. Not far from them is a couple, two young adults who are fumbling their way through some awkward communication on what appears to be a first date, and does not look like it's going well. She keeps checking her phone, and he keeps staring down at his dinner plate. Then across the way, you see a mom and a dad come in with all their kids. He's got bags under his eyes. She just ordered a stiff drink, and they spend the entire meal just trying to survive. Next to them are two teenagers, giddy with young love. She laughs at all his jokes. He can't take his eyes off of her. Then across the room, you see two older adults who haven't said one word to each other the entire meal. It's as if after all these years, they just ran out of things to talk about. And then next to them is a table full of four people. They're on a double date, and everyone is laughing hysterically and engaging in meaningful conversation. And as you compare all of these couples, you begin to wonder, why is it that some couples seem happy while others seem so incredibly unhappy? And is there anything I can do in my life that could increase the secret of someday finding true happiness? What is the secret to a happy couple? Today we begin a brand new message series on love and relationships. And so if you are single and ready to mingle, if you have been married for 30 years or 30 days, if you are widowed, divorced, a teenager just jumping into the dating pool, this message series is for you because God's word is filled with so much wisdom when it comes to love and relationships. And if we can take some of these biblical principles and apply them into our lives, it can have a massive impact on how we live and how we love. And at the very least, give you some principles you could share with others who are in relationships. Because we all know somebody, a friend, a child, a grandchild. And so I'm really excited about this. But before we go any further, I do just want to make one affirmation. I fully realize that there are some in the room who are widowed and divorced, and when we talk about relationships, that brings up a lot of pain. And I bet there's more than a few of you in here, this is probably the last thing that you want to talk about. And I have never walked in your shoes. I haven't gone through that. I can't imagine how challenging it is. But here's my prayer for you. My prayer is that you would get an opportunity over the course of the next 4 weeks to share your story with someone else and help them learn a few tips about what it means to be in a relationship. So with that said, I'd like for us to open up our Bibles. So if you have a Bible, turn to the very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. Because God's a relational God. We see this at the very outset of creation. In Genesis 1, we see a creator God who creates all things. The universe, light, dark, water, dry land, vegetation, animals, sun and moon. And then comes the crown jewel of his creation. It's found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It reads, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness.'" This is the first mentioning in the unfolding narrative of the Bible of a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is one of the great mysteries of the Christian faith and can often be very hard to understand. One God, three persons. The Father is not the Son is not the Spirit is not the Father, etc. Each person in this Trinity, each member is distinctive, each member has unique tasks, but all coexistent as one God. We see it in the language right here in Genesis 1:26. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. It's critical for us to understand that God didn't start having relationships when he created the first person. He already had perfect relationships within his triune being. And so when he creates humankind, it's because he's sharing an aspect of his image, his likeness with us, relationships. Verse 27, so God created mankind in his own image, in the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. So part of being made in the image or the likeness of God is taking on his relational nature. So God first created man, and then he continued in his creation. This now in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. So it was God himself who declared that the human man was better off in relationship. Man didn't make that determination, God did. And so this was God's solution to the tension. Verse 21, so the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. I think Adam was pretty pleased with God's latest creation. He took one look at her and went, wow, she's just like me, yet perfectly different. Continues in verse 24. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Here at the very outset of creation, God gave us the ideal for human relationships. It's a triangle. One man married to one woman united in their pursuit of God. When our vertical relationship with God is correct, it will impact our horizontal relationship with other people. But as you know, Adam and Eve disobeyed God and sin flooded into the world. And its impact on relationships was instantaneous. Right away, Adam and Eve stopped loving each other and started blaming each other. And you and I have been feeling the weight of how that sin has marred our relationships ever since. Because of sin, husbands and wives split up. Because of sin, sexuality spills outside of the husband and wife relationship. Because of sin, there is selfishness, abuse, gender confusion, pride, manipulation, and a whole myriad of other things that no longer resemble what God intended in the relationship. But even though sin stained God's ideal for relationships, there is still a possibility that you and I can pursue that which God intended. But it begins with having a vertical relationship with him right. This is God's ideal for a happy couple. Pursuing this sets us up for the greatest likelihood of experiencing true happiness within the confines of a relationship. Now, in the coming weeks, we are going to spend some time talking about the importance of a couple being on the same page spiritually, specifically having a relationship with Christ. But for our time today, I'm going to assume that most of you here have a relationship with Jesus. Not all of you, but most of you. And I'm also going to assume that most of you want to get better at relationships. Not all of you, but most of you. And so with that framework, I want to identify three kinds of couples this morning. The first two are unhealthy. The third one is the ideal we want to be striving towards. So if you're taking notes, jot this down. The first couple is the child with child couple. This is when one person in the relationship, where both adults in the relationship, each act like a child. The second is the adult with child relationship. This is when one in the relationship takes on the role of the adult and the other takes on the role of a child. The third is the adult-adult relationship, when two adults act like adults. So let's break these down with a little more specificity, and let's look at what God's word has to say. So let's start with the first one, the child with child relationship. This is two people who are incredibly fun, friendly, generous. They just lack maturity. And so to give you an example of a child with child relationship, I want to introduce you to April and Andy. As a newly married couple, they lacked some of the basic necessities for their home. And so a friend floated them some cash, wrote them out a whole shopping list, and sent them to Bed Bath & Beyond so that they could buy some adult items for their home. So with cash in hand, let's see how they handled it. Take a look at this video.
This place is amazing.
Oh my God, they have a thing that makes sherbet. We need 5 of those.
No, we need to stick what's on the list. First things first, oven mitts. Where are the oven mitts?
Oh my God, they have all the As Seen on TV stuff. Shake weight, Iron Gym, Miracle Hand Repair, Big Top Cookie, Pillow Butts, Slop Chop.
Honey.
Oh my God, go for it.
Honey, listen to me. Get it all. Grab everything that we've seen it on TV, put it in this cart right now. Iron Gym? I'm gonna get so buff.
Oh my God, Marshmallow Shooter!
Marshmallow Shooter,
magic
get
bullet.
To!
Wait, what about the magic bullet?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Mighty Putty.
What are we doing? We didn't get a single thing that Ben told us to.
Sure we did, we got the Marshmallow Shooter.
That's, I don't think that's on the list.
But I want it.
I want it too.
Fine.
What? What's wrong?
Nothing. It's just adults are boring. And I hate them. And I don't want to buy all this stupid, boring adult stuff and become boring adults.
Hey, listen to me. Yes, we're going to get a dish rack and shower curtains and a cutting board. But if you think for 1 second I'm not also going to get that marshmallow shooter so that I can shoot you in the face with marshmallows when you're asleep, then you're the dumbest woman I know.
You're going to make me cry.
Okay, so funny, right? There's something very endearing about the child-child kind of couple, right? They're so fun and spontaneous and throw caution to the wind. Now, yeah, we can't make rent this month, but isn't this jet ski that we bought so cool? You know, there's something so cute about that. But here's the problem with a child-child relationship. It never lasts because it gets crushed under the weight of adulthood. And this relationship will have to adapt or it will die. Again, the Bible is filled with all kinds of principles on this, and the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes speaks into these kinds of issues in a really interesting way. It was written by a guy who learned a lot of hard lessons in life, and this is what it says in Ecclesiastes 11:9. He said, "You who are young, be happy while you are young. Let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment." In other words, what he's saying is, hey, do what you want to do. Follow your heart, young people. But you just got to know that bill is coming. You could hide it. You could ignore it. You could throw it away. But the longer you put it off, the bigger it gets, and at some point, you're going to have to pay up. He continues, "So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless." Essentially, what Solomon is saying is that adulthood is coming whether you want it to or not. And so you could try to pretend to be a child as long as you want, but you have to understand at some point, you no longer get to choose. Adult issues will come and they're going to crush the relationship. This is why a child-child relationship doesn't work. Now, Solomon was pretty harsh with this, but in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul had a totally different perspective. He saw those who are young as having a great opportunity. Listen to what Paul says in Titus chapter 2. He says, "Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and endurance." Titus was a young Greek guy that the Apostle Paul took under his wing, And then he equipped Titus to lead other followers of Jesus in his region. And the instruction he gave to Titus is, hey, make sure you invest in those who are older, not just in age, but older in the faith. Keep teaching them, keep training them, help them grow more to be like Christ. Why? So that they can have an impact on those younger in the faith. Verse 6, similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything. Set them an example by doing what is good. So Paul saw an opportunity with those who are young. He said, what we'll do is we'll get those who are a little more mature and get them investing in this younger group of guys. Okay, the same instruction for women. This is verse 3. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, be self-controlled and pure, busy at home, be kind, subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. So again, Paul saw a pattern here of discipleship, of younger men being invested in by older men, of younger women being poured into by older women, those more mature in the faith. He saw this pattern as a possibility of what might happen if we connected these two worlds together. See, one of the problems with the child-child relationship is that it takes on a mentality, it's us against the world. You heard it in that video clip, I don't wanna be a stupid adult. It's us versus everyone else. That's an incredibly unwise way to live because it removes you from another perspective. And if you are someone who finds yourself in a child-child relationship, you're looking in the mirror and you're starting to think, this sounds a whole lot like me. This sounds a whole lot like the person that I'm dating or that I'm married to. If that's you, what do you do? Well, here's the thing. I think that you're in an incredibly exciting season because you can grow together. The sky's the limit when you're both immature in the faith. Anything is possible when you stay committed and you start growing. And I think that if you are somebody who's in a child-child relationship, you have to understand that one of the hallmarks of a healthy relationship is shared moments together that are significant. And what's more significant than growing in a relationship with Christ? And so if you're part of a child-child couple, my best advice to you is this: expand your circle. Get involved with someone else further along the way. This is why small groups are so important, because it exposes us to other people outside of our little circle. You know, years ago, my wife and I were leading a small group of newly married couples. And one night we were talking and the conversation just sort of organically morphed into going around the circle and people were sharing different marital struggles. It was a very vulnerable moment. And it came to one young lady and she said, well, you know, I don't want to complain. I don't want my husband to look bad, but, you know, sometimes it just kind of bothers me that he makes me get up every morning at 5 a.m. to make him a hot breakfast before he goes to work. And the other women in the group were like, wait, hold on. Tap the brakes. Did you just say he makes you get up and make him a hot breakfast? She goes, well, yeah. And they asked, well, don't you also have a full-time job? Well, yeah. I'm like, well, let me tell you what your man sitting right over there can do. When his alarm gets off at 5 a.m., he can march his little fanny into the kitchen and make himself a bowl of cereal. And if he wants a hot breakfast, he can put that bowl of cereal in the microwave. And so the husband then starts looking at us like, come on, guys, give me some support. And I'm like, you're on your own on this one, buddy. Now, don't get me wrong. I will eat a hot breakfast, but I do not require a hot breakfast. Big difference. If somebody puts it in front of me, I'm going to tear it up. But there's no way I'm going to make somebody make it for me. Now, I'm sure that couple had some interesting conversations on the way home that night. But their perspective would never have been challenged had they not exposed themselves to other people who were trying to figure out how to integrate their faith and their lives. This is why small groups are so important. And so if you're somebody who's saying, this sounds like me, I think I'm a part of a child-child couple, this is what we would love to do as a church to try to help you. I would love for you to text the word happy to 909-281-7797. And our team will receive that text And we will do all we can to try to get you connected with some others who could help you grow. And maybe you're somebody in here who you're a little further along in the faith. Maybe you look at your marriage and say, you know, my husband and I think we're doing okay. My wife and I think we got a good relationship. I'd love to invest in some other young adults or some younger people who are still trying to figure it out. If that's you, I would like for you to text the word HAPPY to 909-281-7797. Our team will receive that text message and we'll connect with you to see if it's a good match. It might not be, but we'll see if it's a good match and then we'll go from there. But here's the thing. The child-child couple will never survive because it gets crushed under the weight of adulthood. But wouldn't it be so fun if you could grow together? That's the first kind of couple, the child-child couple. Here's the second one, the adult with child couple. This is where one person in the relationship assumes the role of adult, and the other person in the relationship assumes the role of a child. Now, I want to give you one example of this kind of relationship. This is from a reality show called I Love a Mama's Boy. Check it out.
There you go. My relationship with my son, Brian, is very close and normal.
I wouldn't say normal. He's 29 and she still makes him breakfast every day.
Yeah, she does make some fire eggs. Good job, Mom.
My mom does give the best massages. She knows exactly what I need.
I know I do.
My son, Shakib, is my prince.
It's a beautiful relationship. I don't know why people even find it taboo.
Shakib?
Yes?
Do you like to drink some water? Don't get embarrassed.
Can you dropping juice all on your mouth?
Oh, he spends a lot of time with his mom.
Are we gambling together? Party?
I got a baby boy at home too, but it is not like your relationship at all.
In life, there's a hierarchy. And I'm right up top.
Feels like it's a competition. This girl that I love is pulling me one way, you calling me on the other hand, pulling me this way.
Well, it is a competition.
I would never tell my mom, you need to butt out.
I begin to question where I stand in his life. If he's not gonna put me first, then I'm not really sure where we're gonna go from here.
No, Shakib, you're not gonna leave me. Mama gonna die.
That is not true.
You are the one who make my life miserable. I'm sick of you.
Okay, so TLC Network can thank me for the free advertising, and I apologize if any of you get hopelessly sucked into this crazy reality show. But this is one example of the adult with child relationship, and in the context of this show, it is the woman who's taken on the role of the adult and the man who's taken on the role of the child because he has an unhealthy attachment to his mom. So the men in this concept have failed to heed to the biblical principle we read about earlier in Genesis 2. I want to reread that again. It says, "This is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh." Now that phrase, united to his wife, is a word cleave. Now, cleave is not a word we use commonly in our day-to-day language. But in the original Hebrew, what it means is to cling to. And so what this verse is suggesting is that the husband and the wife are to cling to each other in a way that is different from how they used to cling to their parents. Now, Jesus affirmed this teaching in the New Testament. He used a slightly different word for cleave, that one translated as to stick like glue. So both the Old Testament and the New Testament taught the same thing about the dynamic of a relationship, that a married son or daughter is to cling to their spouse, to stick like glue to their spouse and begin to break away from their mom or dad. This is what we sometimes call leaving and cleaving. And the healthy part is that the relationship with the parents change. So if you are somebody who is moving toward marriage in your relationship with your parents is needing to start moving towards that kind of change. Now, if you're unmarried, I think it's incredibly wise to include your parents into your relationships, especially if they could give you godly advice. But if you are married, that relationship with the parents needs to change according to both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Otherwise, what you will get is a couple who one stays perpetually a child because mom and dad are always there to rescue them. This couple is having financial problems, so rather than dealing with it with each other, we run off to daddy to make it all right. Rather than working through the conflict that comes with any relationship, we run off to mommy and complain about the relationship and let her solve it. This is why an adult-child relationship simply doesn't survive. And that's just one example of this kind of relational dynamic. But there's a whole lot of others. And what almost always happens, this is what happens. Some of you are even sitting there now thinking, okay, so I think this might be my relationship, but I'm the adult, so I'm good to go. But here's the problem. Very often, the person who assumes the adult in the relationship, they have moved from being a partner to being a parent and begin parenting the other person in the relationship. In my experience, when I've seen this with women, it typically is connected to some kind of messiah complex. They're just drawn to needy men. And so love to swoop in and pick them up and clean them up and rehabilitate them. That works okay for stray cats, but not for relationships. Now, in my experience, when I've seen this with men, it often is connected to some misplaced understanding of biblical manhood. I'm the spiritual leader, so I say things and she falls in line. Again, the Apostle Paul speaks so much to both husbands and wives in this context. And it's found in Ephesians chapter 5. I want to read to you a couple of these verses. Many of them are very misunderstood. Let's start with verse 22. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything." So some wives read this passage and think, okay, I just need to do whatever my man says. I just need to listen to him, even if there's abuse, because that's the godly thing to do. Is that what this is teaching? Some men, some husbands read this passage and think, well, this gives me the green light to be a domineering person in the relationship, to become the sole decision maker for the couple, the relationship commander. I speak, you listen. And for men who believe that, I just wonder, did you read the rest of the passage? Because look what it says in verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." Husbands, you've been given the biblical standard to love your wives like Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? He died for her. Husbands, we're given the challenge to die for our wives. I one time heard a person say, "The purpose of marriage is to kill you." To kill off our selfishness. Kill off our singleness, to kill off our self-sufficiency so that we can integrate our lives with our spouse. And so the command given to women, respect your husband, the command given to men, love your wife, but so many people, when looking at these passages of scripture, blast right past how the Apostle Paul even opened the conversation. This is what he said to husbands and wives in verse 21. "Submit to," say it with me, "one another out of reverence for Christ." The command for a happy couple, a healthy relationship, is to submit to one another. What does that mean? To serve one another. To help one another. To live lives together. Make decisions, hello, together. That's part of the biblical command of a healthy relationship. Husbands, believe it or not, your wife doesn't need another daddy. She doesn't need you giving her an allowance and a curfew and trying to control your friendships. She needs you to be a loving husband. Wives, believe it or not, your husband doesn't need another mommy. Here's your schedule. And make sure you put on your coat. It's cold outside. Take out the trash before you go. No, what he needs is for his wife to be loving. These are the dynamics of what the Bible spells out are for happy couples. And so if you are unmarried, here are a few warning signs you could look for that your potential spouse may be somebody who is sliding into the child role in an adult-child couple. Do they have an unhealthy attachment to their parent? Do they have boundaries? Do they make wise financial decisions? Do they have any other kind of friendships in their life? Do they have any desire to pursue Christ? Here's a few warning signs that you could look at in a potential spouse who may slide into the domineering parent type adult in the relationship. Do they talk down to people? Are they always asking to see the manager? Do they pride themselves in fast decision making? Do they love to be the savior of needy people? Is Christ playing any kind of role in their lives? These are just a couple of the warning signs that you could look for. So if you're thinking this through and you're thinking, I think I might be in an adult-child relationship, what can I do? Here's my best advice to you. Work on you. Because some of us may be sitting here thinking, oh, I wish my man was here to hear this. I got to get my lady to hear the sermon because that will help her to change. No, you can't make anybody do anything, but you can work on you. So some things that we have to do. Here's the first step. We have to first look in the mirror and say, what role have I taken on in this relationship? Have I taken on the role of a child? Here's some questions you can help self-assess. Has this relationship become one of convenience? Is it just easier to give him what he wants all the time? Do you live by the creed, happy wife, happy life? Some other things. Is mom or dad always swooping in to save the day? Do you have any sort of desire to grow, to mature in your relationship with Christ? Is it actually happening? Those are some self-assessments you might see as, yeah, I think I might be the child in this relationship. And if you find yourself as the adult portion of the adult-child relational dynamic, a question worth asking yourself is there something I am unintentionally doing that is enabling my partner to act like a child? Do I ever give her a chance to lead? Do I ever give him a chance to struggle? Or do I swoop in and make everything right? Do they have any goals or ambitions? Do they have boundaries? Do they make wise financial decisions? Do they have any interest in growing in their relationship with the Lord? And here are a couple of warning signs you can look for in a potential spouse that could potentially become a domineering adult in the relationship. Do they talk down to people? Are they always asking to see the manager? Do they pride themselves on fast decision-making? Do they love to be the savior of needy people? Is Christ central in their lives? So these are just a couple of warning signs you could look for. So if you find yourself in an adult-child couple, what should you do? Here's my best advice. Work on you. Okay? Don't say, oh, I wish my man is listening to this message right now. Don't say, I need to get my lady to hear this sermon because then she'll make the change. No. You can't make anybody do anything, but you can work on you. And the first step we have to take is to ask ourselves, which role have I slid into in this couple? And is that the role of a child? So some questions you could ask yourself are things like, is it just easier for him to have his way? Has the relationship become one of convenience? Do you live by the creed, happy wife, happy life? Do you have an unhealthy attachment to your parent over your spouse? Are you still acting like you're in a fraternity or a sorority? Do you have any kind of desire to want to mature in your relationship with Christ? Because remember, your vertical relationship affects your horizontal relationships. And when you mature in Christ, you will be able to make more mature decisions in the relationship. And if you find yourself as the adult in the adult-child couple, a question worth asking yourself is, have I done anything that has unintentionally enabled my partner to remain childish? Some of those questions could be things like, have I given her a chance to lead? Do I allow him a chance to struggle? Or do I always swoop in and save the day? Am I somebody who talks to my spouse like they're 9 years old? Has my relationship become a business partnership? Am I sensitizing myself to the leading of the Holy Spirit? These are things that we could be working on ourselves. Wives, your husband doesn't need another mommy. Here's your schedule for the day. Make sure you put on your coat. It's cold outside. And take out the trash before you leave. What he needs is for you to be his wife. Husbands, your wife doesn't need another daddy. You don't need to give her an allowance or a curfew or control her friendships. What your wife needs is for you to be a husband. The adult-child relationship never works because there is not mutual submission. But if you're committed to one another and committed to Christ, anything is possible. But you have to be willing to say, how can I submit to the other out of reverence for Christ? So three kinds of couples. The first is the child-child couple. This is where two adults act like a child. The adult-child couple, where one acts like an adult, one acts like a child. And here's the third, the adult-adult couple. This is the ideal. This is the triangle we talked about earlier. One man, one woman, integrating their life with the other as they both follow Christ. I love what the Apostle Paul has to say about love in Colossians chapter 3. It's a generic speech to anyone, but I think it could be very specifically applied to the context of a couple. Let's read it together. This is Colossians 3, verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. The command from Paul is that couples are to be growing together in love. Now, how do you grow in love? Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So Paul says that the way that you grow is when the peace of Christ rules you wholeheartedly and the word of Christ dwells in you richly. This is where the vertical relationship impacts the horizontal relationships. If you're growing in your vertical relationship with Christ, it will affect your horizontal relationships for the positive. But it all starts with a relationship with Christ. Do you have a relationship with Christ? The amazing thing about Jesus is we can actually have a relationship with him. You see, when you give your life to Jesus, he gives his life to you. When you surrender, when you invite him to take control over your life, he enters into a relationship with you. His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, dwells inside of us in relationship, helping us, guiding us, turning on the light so we could understand Scripture, helping us overcome our selfish, sinful desires, which impacts our relationships for the positive. So have you ever intentionally invited Jesus into your life? If you've never done that, I want to help you do that today. And in a moment, I want to lead you through a simple prayer. We sometimes call it the sinner's prayer. And it begins with just admitting our sins to God. just telling him, I can't save myself and my sin is my fault. And then believing in faith that Jesus paid for your sins for you by dying in your place on the cross. And then committing to following him by just saying, I'm willing to leave my old life and give you control. So if you've never intentionally prayed like this, I want to help you do that right now. So I'll give you the words. You could repeat after me, but you have to pray them in faith. So now's the time. Let's all pray together. Repeat after me as we pray. Jesus, today I give you my life. Wherever you're watching this, wherever you're listening to this, just pray those words right back up to heaven. Jesus, today I give you my life. I cannot save myself. But I believe you saved me when you died on a cross. Will you forgive me of my sins? Will you wash me clean? Today, I give you control. Take my life and lead me where you want me to go. I want a relationship with you. In Jesus' name I ask, amen. So if you prayed that prayer today, we want to be able to pray with you, rejoice with you. We want to hear from you. So if you're watching this on sunrisechurch.org, there's a little button you can click on that says, I commit my life to Christ. You go ahead and slide your little mouse up to that button and click on it and let us know. If you're watching this Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, write in the comments, today I said yes to Jesus. Again, Church Online, click on that button so that we can all celebrate with you and pray with you. And if you're looking to take another step, your next step, I want to encourage you to text the word next to 909-281-7797. Maybe you just need to reach out to someone for help. You want to join a group, or you want to maybe get more involved in church, or you need assistance of some kind. Take that next step. Text next to 909-281-7797. We're here to help. Friends, we need to affirm that no relationship is perfect. I know mine certainly isn't. I often fall short of being the husband my wife needs me to be, but I want to get better. And I bet you do too. So if you're a part of a child-child relationship, just understand that that relationship is never going to work unless you both grow together. So expand your circle and get some other people involved in your relationship. And if you're a part of an adult-child relationship, just understand that that relationship's not going to work either because there is no mutual submission. So work on you and ask yourself, what can I do today to submit myself to my spouse out of reverence for Christ? The ideal we want to move towards is the adult-adult relationship. Because remember, your horizontal relationships will only go as far as your vertical relationship with Christ. So let's make sure we get that relationship right. And if we do, we stand our best chance of someday being a part of a happy couple. Amen? Amen. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. I want to encourage you to not just stop here. Maybe you sense God is speaking to you today and wanting you to take that next step. So here's two ways you can do just that. The first is text the word next to the number 909-281-7797. That's 909-281-7797. You'll receive a message back with some ways to help you grow. That may mean joining a small group or finding a place to serve or just talking with someone one-to-one about your faith. You can also visit the notes for this podcast and follow the links provided. And if you're within driving distance of one of our four physical locations in Banning, Ontario, Rialto, or Victorville, we'd love for you to stop by sometime and give us a chance to meet you personally. Again, we want to thank you for listening, and we hope to see you soon. God bless.